And of course, Daniel, now we really have a new strategy, as Joyce was talking about giving treatment before surgery. And then if there's residual disease, to use another form of treatment, which in breast cancer, we'll go through the study that showed this, is T-DM1. I'm going to ask you in a second, you have a couple of patients who got T-DM1 in this situation. I'm going to ask you to comment a little bit on how patients do during, this is really adjuvant T-DM1. In the past, we've always given it as the treatment for metastatic disease, and now we're giving it as adjuvant. How do you find patients tolerating T-DM1, Daniel, in the adjuvant setting, particularly as compared to in the past when they got it for metastatic disease?
Well, typically, I haven't had too many issues thus far giving it. Typically, the biggest side effect I've seen thus far is usually just some fatigue, nausea. I do have a current patient right now that's on T-DM1. Her T-bill is actually increased, and so we may have to dose reduce her medication just because of the effects on her T-bill. So things like that have recently popped up. But typically, in most cases, patients typically respond well to the treatment versus chemotherapy. They don't get as much side effects like the nausea, the vomiting, the hair loss. So patients typically do much better once they're on the anti-HER2 antibody treatments.
So Virginia, maybe you can talk a little bit about how you explain to someone what an antibody drug conjugate is. We have T-DM1. We're going to talk about this new agent, sacituzumab. But it actually kind of, I mean, it's not chemotherapy, but it sort of includes a chemotherapy molecule. And I guess one of the things that you can maybe go through is sort of how it works.
So when I talk to patients, I try to simplify it and I try to explain that this is almost like a nuclear trastuzumab. It's trastuzumab plus chemotherapy, but because the chemotherapy is on the antibody, it doesn't get dispersed into the whole body. It usually just goes to the cancer cells. And that's the beauty of it, that it doesn't cause, as Daniel mentioned, a lot of the side effects that we see with chemotherapy. It's a little bit more targeted. Now, you may have heard of the Trojan horse description of these antibodies, and this may be a little too complicated for patients, but for nurses and our nurse practitioners, it's great to help them understand of how this works, and it's really fascinating of how oncology has been able to use these drugs where you have the antibody, the linker, and the toxin, then that complex gets internalized into the cell, then the toxin gets released into the nucleus or the cytoplasm and kills the cancer cell.
So we're going to go through some of the research studies that sort of led into this. I just want to walk you through a few of the questions we asked, just to, again, to kind of think to yourself how you might ask them. As we were just talking before, now in HER2-positive disease, when patients have surgery, they still have residual cancer after having neoadjuvant therapy. The approach is T-DM1. We'll show you the trial that changed practice about a year and a half ago. We'll talk a little bit about pertuzumab that's often used in the neoadjuvant setting. We know that diarrhea is a common problem. When we get into the cases, so we'll chat a little bit about how that sort of plays out.